Hey friends, welcome back to the show. Today's episode is one that I think so many of you are going to feel in your bones, especially my go-getters, my overachievers, the women who wear a dozen hats and still try to show up for their goals with intention. Today I'm sitting down with Jodi Stabile. It's Stabile, right? Got it. Cool. The founder of Sweat Gym here in St. Pete. You guys may see all of my Instagram stories there. That is my second home these days. If you know Jodi, you know the fire she brings, not just as a coach and as a business owner, but as a woman who's had to fight to build what she has today. Jodi's story is so powerful. I heard it on a podcast about a month ago. She had her start in dance and martial arts, which is a world that, in my opinion, demands a lot of perfection, and transitioned into the world of fitness, where she was quickly met with her own share of setbacks and adversity. But instead of backing down, Jodi leaned in. And that grit and that I'll find a way energy is something that I really admire, and I think a lot of us can relate to. But here's what we're digging into today. How do you do it all without losing yourself in the process? How do you know when you're just tired versus when you're genuinely burning out? And how do you give yourself permission to rest, pull back, or to move through a slower season without guilt? And maybe most importantly, how do you make peace with the fact that rest is not a weakness? This is real, relatable, and an insightful conversation. Jodi and I are going to talk about identity, fear, and redefining what balance looks like and why learning to chill might actually be the most radical thing we do as high-performing women. So, Jodi, for people that don't know you, thank you so much for being on my podcast with me today. It is like the biggest honor to have you. Would you intro yourself and kind of tell us about how sweat came to be and how you came to starting sweat?
Yes. And first off, thank you so much for having me. That was such a joy to know that you wanted to chat with me and also to just find out all the things about you. You are fascinating. So kudos to you and all your accomplishments. So my name is Jodi Stabile, and I've been in fitness now for 20 years. And like you said, it all started back with like martial arts and dance when I was at a, when I was 11 years old. I just kind of was always involved in fitness, always involved in health and nutrition. I luckily had a family who was grounded in that and doing the things that were trending now when they were, vegetarians at some point or all raw foodies. And we didn't have like a steady medical doctor. We weren't on medication, all the things back in the day that like I feel like are trending now. And I'm really excited to talk about all those things. But yeah, so, just kind of fell into the trap of, not the trap, but fell into my journey of fitness back in the day. And I know we'll talk a lot about it, but excited to be here and excited to talk more about all these topics.
Oh my gosh, wait for a second. I know we're talking about this soon, but I completely forgot in the podcast that I heard about you. Our upbringings were very similar. Just, I had no
Really?
idea. Yeah. So my mom is an anti-vaxxer. When
Never
I
been
get
back.
sick, yeah, when I get sick, we do Umka and Amoxicillin and all the Boyron supplements. I'm taking them this week. I grew up, and I remember the first time I was probably 17 years old. I saw somebody, my aunt, my dad's side, eat fried chicken, and I panicked. I said, "What are you doing? What are you doing with
What
that
is
breading on
that?
the outside?" And she's like, "This is fried chicken. It's the best part of the chicken." And I'm like, growing up, we had rotisserie. Like, my mom would peel the skin off the rotisserie. Like, if we ever had fried, you don't eat that. It's poison. Yeah, no,
That
we
was
were the
us.
same way.
It's so interesting.
Jodi, I admire you so much because of what you have built and the sweat community and the gym. Would you just briefly intro us into how sweat sort of came to be for you?
It's interesting because everyone's like, oh, like when did you think of starting sweat? I'm like, I really didn't. Like I never sat at a desk and was like, oh, I want to be a gym owner one day. That wasn't it. But I did kind of fall into the path, and I'm a firm believer in God, and like God has literally opened every door for me. And kind of there's times where I like don't walk through them, so he'll kick me through them. But I started. I was in martial arts and I was like 19 years old. And there's a woman there who was like, oh, I need, she was like a fitness professional at the global gym at the time. And she's like, I need a kickboxing instructor tomorrow to like fill in. And I'm like, I'm not the girl. Like I'm not certified. I've never done this before. She's like, no, 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 I'll help you. So she gets me in the room, puts me on the stage. And back then, this was on like the wood floor with the mirrors. And it was like, all right, guys, three, two, or it was like five, six, seven, eight, double jab, cross, weave, weave. You're like doing the whole thing with it. And it was like a dance. I'm on this stage. I'm in 25 in front of like 25 people. I get done with the class and I'm like, sign me up. Like, how do I get certified? I went and got certified. And then I got my personal training certification. And from that day, I was just in the gym for forever. And so from there, I've always taken next steps. Like I've left there and I thought I was going to go train with Orange Theory and that didn't work out. I couldn't tell people to train that way. And so then I kind of went to a dance studio. I just kind of made all my little stops. And then eventually I grew my business to where, you know, I had 30 plus women in my class every single day, showing up multiple times a day. I was growing and bursting at the seams in the studio that I was in, and it wasn't my studio at the time. And so from there, I was just like, okay, like, I guess I'll try it because I have all these people that want more and they wanted more classes. And I'm like, and I'm here for it. I want to give more. So I just started with like a small studio. It was, I think it was like 2,400 square feet. It was a rent that I could afford. I taught every class. I trained every client. I did all a small group. I was the front desk. I was cleaning. I was doing all the things. And I didn't think we were going to build past that. But then once we did start building, it kind of dawned on me that like, I enjoy this. I enjoy the growth and obviously the stage and all the things. And we'll talk about that, but I enjoyed the growth of it. I enjoyed what people were getting from it. I enjoyed the building of community. It was so tight niche and it was so cool to see relationships being fostered and like women changing their perception on training and all these things. And so then I slowly started kind of hiring. And that's when, you know, after about 3 years in this small studio, I was like, you know what? I think we're onto something. I want to grow it into a bigger brand, something that's gender neutral. I want guys to come because it's not a girly workout. And that's when we,
yeah. Oh no, it's not.
It's not really working at all. So we rebranded, made it Sweat. We've actually rebranded three times. So it is what it is now, but it's, you know, it's great. We have like a staff of 20. We have two locations now, which is huge and awesome and all the things. And we'll talk about, but so, you know, we see about 1,000 people a month. So it's
number one training facility on ClassPass, right?
We got that nomination and that award, I believe a year or two ago. Yes. But we've been nominated in Tampa Bay Magazine for the best fitness studio in St. Pete. So we've definitely had some big moments, to where it wasn't just us saying like, we're the best. It's actually everyone voting and saying that they're the best. So, but yeah, very pleased with where
we're at. I love that. Well, I'm proud to even know you and, just to have you to look up to, because you can tell that like, you know, you've clearly been through a lot. Those sorts of achievements don't just happen to us overnight. Mm-hmm. You have to push through adversity. And like you said, sometimes God opens up the door and we kind of peer at it and go, I don't know. And sure? We're pushed through it. Right. Yep. Right. We're pushed through it one way or another, if it is what is supposed to happen for us. Let's explore that a little bit deeper. I want to talk about that like inner fighter, because I'm definitely someone that almost gets kind of like addicted to that feeling of overcoming adversity. And I definitely found, at least in my journey as a competitor, I had a conversation with an athlete about this today. My goal as a professional bodybuilder, it was to turn pro. That's always been my goal. And I actually had made almost like a promise to my family, because it takes a toll on the whole family unit, as once I turn pro, I'm gonna be done. I don't have any desire to go past that. Once you really start going to the Olympia and stuff, you're dipping your toes, as you know, as a former competitor, into just, you know, it's more dangerous at that point.
Yeah.
And so once I got a taste of the success, for me, it was like, oh, challenge is on now. Like I almost forgot all of the fires that I had to walk through on my journey to turning pro. It was like all of a sudden I was on Mount Olympus and now I wanted to go to like the next highest mountain. And all I could see was forward from there. So, you know, for you, have you ever found yourself kind of in that trap, at least with success and Sweat and things like that, where it's like you reach that mountain and it's tough to almost like stop and soak up that achievement before you jump onto the next thing?
All the time. And I had mindset coaches back in the day, business coaches. And one of my mindset coaches, at the time was making me read a book about the dopamine effect because he was like, I think you're addicted. And it is, it's that dopamine of like getting that next achievement, hitting that next goal, getting back on that stage, winning that competition, all the things. And when your life kind of revolves around that, it's like, that's what almost makes you feel like, oh, I'm doing good. You know, I'm achieving all these things. And so it can easily turn into something that, you know, can be somewhat addictive. And then I'm going to pause because I forgot what the main question was.
No. So my question was really, have you faced that in, in your business and in sweat, you know, where it's like you reach that high, you get that next achievement, say it is to get that award. And now all of a sudden you're finding that you can't just stop and soak it in. And instead you're on to the next thing.
Yeah. So the other thing about that is I think that that's sometimes where you were also meant to be, because as a visionary, like that's the goal. That's who you are. So it's almost instilled in me to, I still want to appreciate those. And I will say I'm blessed to have my husband work with me now. He's been working with me now for the past 2 years, and he'll be the one to be like, hey, remember we just hit this milestone and this goal. Cause I'm like, sweet. Okay. Next week, here's what we need to do. And it's like, should we celebrate? So he's got me to like understand and how to celebrate moments. And also when you have a staff now, I want to celebrate for them because like we've all done it. It's a team thing. But as the visionary, we want to like keep it going. Cause you know, there is that sense of not fear, but like, oh boy, like if I stop, if I slow down, like what's going to happen, you know? So it can take its toll, but I think, you know, as, like I said, as a visionary, I do think that like growth is kind of instilled in you. And as a leader, you do want to continue to push forward and move the needle, you know, for others, not just yourself. But I think taking moments, obviously celebrating them in some way, it can be a small celebration, but giving yourself those little goals to like say, all right, pat on the back, congrats, good job, live in a moment for a little bit. But again, I think it just depends on what your goals are and what you want to accomplish and achieve. If you are in a growth phase, it's not necessarily a bad thing to say, like, I'm super pumped with where we're going next, you know?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail right on the head there. In a business, what a beautiful trait to have. What an admirable trait and skill to be able to use, especially for people around you who might not be the visionary, right? Mm-hmm. Because we know who they are. Very good at executing when they have a plan, but not so good about the 4-year plan, right? But I will say it's so interesting as you're sharing that about your business, how I was thinking about some of my clients and even like my own physical health journey and how that trait of mine, because I'm very much similar to you, has set me back in many ways when it comes to my physical growth. We were kind of touching on this a little bit earlier before we actually started recording this podcast. And that was, you know, I know that you see the women in sweat that are there 6-7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I have athletes that I can think of a few of them on my roster right now where it's like, you know, we've been cutting for, I don't know, let's say 16 weeks. And that's usually the length of time that I want a woman in a dieting phase. We want to be obviously not dieting for longer than we're dieting. Yeah. And they're making progress, right? The scale might still be going down, maybe slower, but it's still happening. And we get to the end of that and I say, all right, we're going to start reversing. We're going to start bringing food back up. And all of a sudden it's, I don't want to. I'm happy here. I really like being this size. Despite the fact that next month they're going on a trip cross country or next month is their birthday, right? And I know the writing's on the wall. We're not going to be eating 1200 calories when we go to Europe, right?
Yeah.
So it's in their best interest to kind of reverse out of it, or it's in their best interest to relish in the fact that they've lost all this weight and that achievement and not to think about the next thing. Mm-hmm. In my competitive journey.
Yeah.
Right. In my competitive journey, like it's so easy when you get off of the stage as a new pro to think, all right, next best thing, the Olympia. And I had to stop and back up and go, whoa, 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 whoa. That's never been my goal. That's just the high right now that I just got. I need to stop for a second and dial it back. Now, has that ever backfired that sort of like notion, that go-getter mentality, has that ever backfired on you in your physical journey?
So I have two parts of that for so business and physical. Business journey, I will say pushing through has backfired only one time. And the only reason it backfired is because we were making some shifts in the business and just a handful of people left. And not that those people didn't need to leave and not be on the team, but they left with like a negative taste in their mouth. And that's never my goal as like a leader and a business owner. I never want somebody to leave my business and think like hated working for her, right? So I did have like two of them that were just like a little like not, and we've spoken since then and it's fine, but like I just didn't like the way that went. So I will say that was one thing with the restructuring of the business that it happened, and it was influenced by like a business coach that we had at the time. But my physical, I would say for me on backfiring, pushing through is honestly just when my physical goes backward. Obviously, like I can see when my body's starting to fall apart, or like I'm declining in my health. Like I know what it feels to be performing optimally because I've just dialed in my world, my day-to-day, my life, how I fuel, how I work out, how often I sleep, what time I go to sleep at the same time, like what we don't like, I don't overconsume things on the weekends. Like I just have a very, I almost hate to use the word balanced lifestyle, but that's when I'll start to notice things, is when like my body's starting to like go backwards, if I'm declining or feeling sick or skin issues or all of that, you know? So yeah, those are those physical attributes that can take a, it can take a toll when like pushing through is too much, you know?
I definitely feel like I'm one of those people where, our bodies, I always say, like my mom will tell me, this is, I love my mom. You'll probably hear me talk about her a lot, but my mom will share with me all the time, like, Maddie, this is a pressure test, and the universe is whispering to you. And she's like, and if you don't listen to its whisper, she's like, it's fine. The test will come back in 6 months, or the test will come back in a year, and it will scream. And, it's so true. Our bodies do the same thing. And I did kind of want to lead into a question. I'm sure this is a perfect segue for it, which is about, Jody, I know that when I first met you, I knew you from Sweat. And so I was, oh, that's the owner of Sweat. And that's Miss Sweat, right? And that's kind of like the box that I put you in. And as I've had more conversations with you, and I've listened to the couple podcasts that you've been on, I've realized, like, wow, like this woman is also a entrepreneur. You're not just Miss Sweat that coaches some of the classes there, which, by the way, I love that you coach still. I think that's really cool. How many business owners still coach right at their like gym at the entry level, essentially? But you coach, right? You handle, I'm sure you outsource some of this, but for the most part, you are very hands-on with your gym and that business. And running a business is not easy. There's, legalities and marketing and rebranding, like you've talked about, and finances and investments. And then you handle, your own social media. You have a huge social media following. And we talked about the fact that you share tips on, your meals and what you eat to help to inspire other women. And then you're a wife on top of all of that. How do you, I mean, I know this is probably a packed question, but how do you balance it all?
And like I said, I don't know if I even like using the word balance. You know what I mean? Because I don't know that you're gonna be the best at everything. You know, like I think it was Kobe Bryant that was in an interview, and he was like wanting to be and was the best basketball player, and he was like, to be the best, like you're not going to be a great husband all the time and a great son and a great friend. And I feel that, like, I feel like there are times when like I am failing at being a great friend. Like I thought about it the other day. I was like, I don't even have my girl. Like I have friends, but like, I don't have girls that I call every day. I'm not like going and getting lunch with girls. Like, and it's fine. And I'm okay with that. But it's also, it's the life that I've created. And like, you know, sometimes I look at my husband and I'm like, it's almost hard sometimes to connect back with him as a married couple, because I'm like, but you're my business partner. And, you know, so yeah, the balancing of it all, I I have, I think all of us have a lot on our plate. We're obviously, for one, just over consuming. Like, we're just constantly on at all times with all the things that we're watching and seeing and hearing. We're being inundated with information and all the things. So it's so hard to like pause, because I know it's hard to say, like, oh, I'm just gonna like sit and chill and do nothing, for example, because obviously we would be like, wait, what? What does that mean?
What
Somebody's gonna judge
is
us and it's gonna be awful and whatever. So my balance is like, I can have some really hard and intense days, because the other thing is I do love what I do. So I don't ever want to dismiss that, so I don't look at my day to day and go, oh, another day. I'm actually always excited for the things that I get to do. Like, the fact that I get to wake up in a healthy body, in a beautiful home, married to my husband, and I get to go to this amazing business that is not in a cubicle where I have to, and I'm like under these lights. I'm like, it's open air facility. I have staff that are really cool and fun. So there's so many things that I'm blessed with that I try to think about every day. Every day I wake up with gratitude. And again, same with you, like devotionals, read the Bible, go on my daily walks. But there's plenty of times where I need to balance or reset. And as long as I know that like I've got like three really hardcore days, but I've got a day of rest coming up, I'm good with it. Or I learn to take my moments. Cause I know for me personally, I'm an extrovert introvert. Like, I'm introvert at home, extrovert by trade. Like, I have to be on. And I've always been on the stage ever since I was 11, in martial arts. Like, I've always been on the stage, and that's just what I'm used to. And I'm used to everyone needing something from me and attaching me to something. So if I can just find moments in my day where I'm not needed, I can go on a walk with just my dog. I leave my phone here. I may just sit and listen to nothing, or like sit and listen to a podcast because I want to check out. It's like, it's that, those are the things, those are the moments. But for the most part, I try to remember that I've created this life, this beautiful life that I actually really enjoy. Like, I don't dislike my life. You know what I mean?
I was just going to say that is the first thing that I wanted to piggyback on. I talked about this in a podcast that I led with one of my own athletes. She's involved in, I think it's tech, I want to say. She lives out in Silicon Valley in California. And she's one of my athletes that so much a go-getter. And she was traveling a ton for work. And on the days that she was home, she's like, I'm ready to lock in. I've got my gym, I've got my meals, I'm this, that, and the other. And then it was like the second that there was a trip on the horizon, which was every other week for her, it was like, I mean, like it was almost like she had this like identity crisis. Like, who am I? I'm no longer an athlete because I have to. And finally, I just said, Haley, accept this as truth. Girl, like this is your life. You are always going to be on the go. And when we can finally kind of accept who we are and what we've chosen. When you just said to me, like, I don't have girlfriends, oh my gosh, I heard that and I was like, same. Like, I seem like I'm this like outgoing, probably have like I'm not trying to like put myself on a
No,
pedestal,
you
but I
do.
think a lot of
You do.
people think like, oh, she's out with friends all. No, I'm not. Like, I literally have three like super tight close, sorry if any of my friends are hearing this, so like I wonder
No.
who's the three.
No.
No, you're all my friends. No, but I really do only like it's a lot of my friendships, like by the end of the day it's not like I'm like desiring to pick up the phone and
Right.
check in with them. Like
Right.
I work 12-hour days. I'm so happy that I do. I love what I do and I work on the weekends and all the things, but sometimes my body just says, I just want to sit in silence.
Yeah. And that's okay.
And 100%. And I think that the other thing that comes with that, I love this whole topic, which is like admitting who you are and what resonates, is the whole word balance, right? For me, I lived dual identities for so long because I was failing to admit to myself that I'm 26 years old and I probably have the work-life balance of a 45-year-old that's a C-suite executive in a corporate career, right?
Right.
Like, the work-life balance is not that I can compare to my other friends in their 20s. I can admit that. But for so long, I was at war with that identity. And I was still trying to figure out how to look at all my other friends, especially girlfriends, and be like them. Meaning, how can I go out to Banu, which is an Italian restaurant in St. Pete for our listeners, and order a bowl of pasta or Alfredo with no chicken on it and have a glass of wine and constitute that as a meal? Or how could I go out on a boat with friends this weekend and not go to the gym, which is what I really wanted to do, and crack open a White Claw at 11 a.m. on an empty stomach and not eat again until 7 p.m. and feel good about that? And I realized that even though those things were aligned for those people, they were not aligned for me. And I think part of me being able to manage as much as I manage and as much as I do, the how behind that is that I am so aligned in the areas outside of that. I don't waste any of my limited capacity on things that don't resonate.
I think that's huge of you to know that at your age where you are, because I was that girl. So like, at least I have the waking up and just rolling into drinking on an empty stomach because I wanted to be skinny all day. And even though I was in fitness back then, it was just like whatever I could do to like have abs, but I wanted to have fun. I did that in my 20s and I don't regret it because it made me who I am today. But if I could have done without it, that would have been amazing. Like if I could have been smart back then, like you are, like I would have been where I am now. Not necessarily like, I don't ever look back and go, oh, I wish I would have, you know, I think I am right where I am, where I need to be.
100%.
I don't look back on somebody's life and like, oh, I wish I had that. But it's just interesting to hear you say that. And I think that's so huge and so mature of you to identify that and know that like you're on your path of going from good to great and like wanting to accomplish a lot in life and be successful, and not necessarily just for you, but I think for other people. So that's
yeah, huge. Thank you. That from you, that means like the world. We can stop the podcast now. No,
bye, everyone.
But when I think about that too, I think about I know have done this because you've talked on this podcast in length already about the fact that you've hired mentors and you've brought people into your life that maybe made you put you into uncomfortable positions at times. I've talked about my mom, but you know, my mom is somebody who she worked as a C-suite executive with Disney for 30 years, 30 plus years, and was very, very successful. But she was always like, no tattoos. She would never let me have more than one ear piercing. Like no second hole. The day I had my second hole, she found out about my second hole. It was a year after I had it. We were in the Apple store and it was my birthday. She had just bought me a David Yurman ring and she saw the clear stud and she didn't talk to me for my birthday for the rest of the day. And, you know, I still think about stuff like that. And I think about even like my mom, I have seen her drink a glass of wine 5 times in my life. And even then she didn't finish it. And she was always just such a stickler about alcohol and drinks. And she was never a helicopter parent, but the rules that she had for me when I was that age always kind of left me thinking like, I respect this woman a lot, but I wonder why. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's moments in life where we're presented, you know, with people, whether it's our parents or we're put in a room with someone that maybe we can't articulate why yet, but we know we admire them for one reason or another. And I think that as I've grown up, instead of running from those people or judging them, I'm reading a book right now, 101 Essays That'll Change the Way You Think by Brianna Weist. And I love this book because it's something new every day, but she talks a lot about how the things that we judge most in others are the things that we need to look at for ourselves.
Oh yeah. For sure.
And, you know, I think when I looked at people for the longest time, especially the ones that maybe were sober or the ones that kind of had a plain appearance, not that piercings and tattoos are bad. I have a few, but it's like, you know, there's a reason for that. And there's a reason why we feel so triggered by it. And so, yeah, I think I was thinking about more about like the fact that I had judged people for kind of being like lame or boring. Or right. For a while, like it was like, you know, why does my mom not drink? And now I'm like, I know why. You know, I have clients that they're in their 40s and 50s. And the same way that you feel in your 20s after drinking all day long, that doesn't change when you turn 30, 40, or 50. You still come home, you still eat like crap. Like, why not just stop now as opposed to stopping down the line?
I know. Get ahead of it. It's almost like define lame or boring. So, like, our friends, my best friend lives in Austin, and she's like, "Do you guys have paddle boards?" And we're like, "No." She's like, "What? Why?" She's like, "That's what you guys should be doing. It's so fun." And I'm like, "Okay." And then I look at my husband, I'm like, "Should we get paddle boards?" And he's like, "No." And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't think so." Right. And then we have these friends that are like, pickleball every day, 4 o'clock. I'm like, "Okay, I guess we should be going and playing pickleball." And we go, and I'm like, "It's cool for like the hour that we play." But then I'm like, "I'm good. I don't." So, like, define lame and fun. You know what I mean? Like, I think everyone
Right.
has their right to do the things that they enjoy. But like, I also think, like, find what you enjoy. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
if you enjoy building your business and like being with staff and like crushing, you know, that and crunching numbers and all the things and going to the next level and doing events and all that, great, do it. If you enjoy like the hanging out and going out, fine, you know, but I think like define that for yourself and don't let other people define it for you and tell you like what you should be doing. And like, you should be going out on Friday and having cocktails with your girls at 2 versus working, going to the gym at 4 and then cooking your home cooked meal, being to bed on time because you wanted to go to the gym and like define it, you know?
Yeah, and I
And
think, like I
everyone.
said, it all circles back to how do you manage more? How do you take on more and fill up your plate with all the fixins? Because the things outside your plate, right? Like your cup, your fork, your spoon, your knife, all of those things are perfect for you. And if all those things are perfect and your silverware and all the things, then you can load up that plate as much as you want. You will have capacity for more. But as soon as it's out of alignment, is when you feel this spread too thin. Oh crap, something's gonna fall out from underneath me.
That and also nutrition, which we talked about before we got on here. So when you're out of alignment and you're overworked and you're doing all these things that like, yes, aren't really what you want to be doing, and you don't have the ability to deal with, say, the stress, whether it's good stress or bad stress, stress is stress. How you
Sure.
manage stress, like if you don't have, like if you're not firing on all cylinders because you're running on coffee and you're not eating till 3 o'clock in the morning, you're intermittent fasting and you're not going to bed on time because like you feel like you have so much to get done in the day. Like, let's also be aware of that. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to be able to get to the next level or to that level of, you know, success in your eyes if you can't maintain, you know?
Yeah, I love that you touched on nutrition because I talk a lot with my clients about how food can be very grounding. You know, when you're feeling like almost like I've only actually ever taken Ritalin back when I had an eating disorder because I was really struggling with focus. But I remember that feeling in my brain of being Ritalin's like Adderall, it's like a stimulant and it makes you feel very like in your head. And that's the only feeling that I can really relate to when I'm underfed or like when I've done a workout and I'm fasted. It's like I can actually come home and like this morning, for example, I fasted because I couldn't get down my breakfast before sweat. I came home and if I really didn't already have a breakfast prepped, I probably could have just dove right into work and just plowed through until the afternoon. Because your body, yeah, you get that adrenaline and your body can actually fuel itself on that. It's a fight or flight response. It's a sympathetic response that your body activates due to being malnourished and underfed. But that's not what we're striving for. And so you'll start to find that, you know, that feeling that can actually drive us almost like gasoline can also become the thing that burns us out.
Yeah, you crash and burn for sure.
Yeah, you'll crash just as fast. Now, transitioning here on the topic of like kind of like burnout and laziness. There's a difference here, right? Between burning out, hitting rock bottom, and also just being like lazy, like lackluster with your habits and stuff. It can feel really hard, I think, sometimes to tell the difference, especially for women like you and I. Like I cannot tell you the last time that I sat down at my couch and turned on TV. I
Yeah,
have
I
two
can.
beautiful TVs, but I don't
Yeah.
use them.
So, and I can, 'cause like obviously, like I have my husband who loves to turn TV on too at night. I will say that if it weren't for him, I would probably sit at my computer. So he might be a little bit of balance for me because we do eat, and then when we sit on the couch, it's like, and we're done. You know what I mean? It's a little bit of like
Yeah.
bow on the day or like the finale, like, okay, we can check out now. And I will say it doesn't work. Like my phone is still sitting next to me and like I'm still checking,
Yeah.
you know, things from my coaches and like staff and all of that till we go to bed. So I do want to find a balance on that, but I do find and make myself do that, like actual, like rest, like stop, you know? So the balance.
So you might've actually just illuminated the answer to the question that I was going to ask, which was kind of like, how do we differentiate between burnout and laziness? Now, I think the similarities there is that when you're burnt out, you might find yourself sitting down on the couch, kind of like, what's the word? Right. Like kind of like removed and just like mute, right? Dead to the outside world. When you're also being proactive and maybe not being, I don't want to say the word lazy, but restorative, if you will, for yourself. You're kind of dead to the outside world. You're trying to just shut down. You're trying to get into your space, even if you're not fully in your space, but you get what I'm saying. I think the difference is one has that proactivity element. The other is it's forced upon you. You know, I tell people that I'll work with, like, listen, if you don't take this deload week right now, your body is already telling me the scale has gone up for 2 weeks straight. Despite not changing any of your food, you are losing sleep. Your HRV is not where we want it to be, right? All of these telltale signs of poor biofeedback, take a deload before you hurt yourself.
Well, before your body makes you take your deload, like you will, you say rock bottom. And we talk about, burnout and laziness. I always feel like I'm kind of spinning it into a different mindset. I think it's because I've literally been in all these titles. And then I try to restructure the title. So like
that's good. Burnout, restructure it. Yeah.
Right. So burnout for me, I think is hitting a ceiling. Mm. And that's not where you stop, but you're at a point where like something needs to happen. Right. So this is, from experience for the years of building the business, I've now gotten to the point where I'm like, when I feel like I'm hitting my head against a brick wall and like, I'm super annoyed with this person and this coach is driving me crazy and my staff, I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like threatening to close the gym down or burn it down with everybody in it. That right. When I'm like, we're there, it's not necessarily burnt out. I think it's like, okay, there needs, something's not working. Ceiling is hit. How do we bust through that ceiling and get to that next level? So it's a little bit more strategic now with let's assess what's the solution. Like, what is it that's truly, and I've done therapy, I've done mindset coaching, I've done business coaching. We're now in like a entrepreneurial like system coaching plan that is like rocking my world that I love so much, but it's restructuring that mind frame of I'm overwhelmed. I just need a break. It's like, no, again, because I told you, like we enjoy our lives. You love building your coaching business and you love what you do. So to think that you're hit a burning out, it's like, am I burning out? Or is there just something not working that I need to like figure out a solution to so we can shift? Because when things are good, things are good. So why aren't the things good? You know what I mean? It's not like you just started a new job and you realize like, I think I hate this job. It's not that. Like, yes, if you are burnt out because you do not enjoy your life, your day to day, all the things, you know, then yes, maybe we need to reassess like what's going on. But I try my best because I am a visionary and because I have to continue to move forward for more people than just myself. I try to think of it as a ceiling. So we've hit a ceiling. All right.
Yeah.
Exposure. Let's restructure it. Like, what is the solution to the problem? Why are we having these headaches? Is it that time of the month for me? Or is it, and a lot of times it can be around that time, but I still know my emotional intelligence and I'm still very level-headed, so I can handle it head on. And then we can kind of pivot and move to the next level, which is beautiful.
For sure.
You know,
and so there's a tonality too. Like, I've had clients that have checked in with me and like, I can like, it's almost like I hear them like this, like they're coming in like on the chopper and like about to land in my check-ins. And then they tell me like, Maddie, I'm going through something right now in my life. I just need to take a step back from coaching. And I'm like, now's when you actually need the coach.
I know.
Right? It's a sign.
Consistency. Be consistent.
Like, we just need to pivot.
Yeah.
Or as I say, we just need to change the bar. I don't like to use the word lower the bar because the bar doesn't actually need to be lowered. It's still going to be hard for you. We just need to move it over. Mm-hmm. Right? We need to shift. But I think that there's something to be said for not the laziness, but those restorative moments, right? maybe if we made it a little bit more built into our day-to-day in our systems to have that pause, we wouldn't run into as many of those ceilings, right? When you run into ceilings in your business, sometimes it's because we are ignoring or in our physical
Oh,
body
yeah.
the warning signs.
A lot of times, I think some burnout happens because of your failure to plan too. Like you are growing and doing, or you're expecting and you're wanting and desiring and all these things, and you haven't planned. You don't have a map of like how you're going to get there. And so when things aren't working and you haven't meal prepped, or you didn't, you don't have your idea of like what your Monday through Friday looks like, and things just can come into your day to day and disrupt your whole, structure and your schedule. I think that failure to plan and have some strategy behind like what you want to achieve. Maybe it's small goal setting, maybe it's just like having clear direction on like where you want to be in 3 months or, but it, I just think that, a lot of us, I think, can just like let life happen to us, rather than, if your health and well-being is a true goal, like not just to be skinny, but like I have like things that I want to achieve with my health and wellness, you will make it a priority and you will do it and you will be consistent with it and you will go and seek out coaches that can help you get to that next level, and you won't leave those coaches until you feel like you've gotten to that next level and you feel like you can live and sustain and maintain. If you're in that business mindset of growing your business, and you will find, the coach, the way to kind of hit that next, to structure it so that you're not always feeling chaotic and burnt out and no direction. I don't know where I'm going. And it can feel that way, I think, in many avenues of our life, many areas of our lives. But, as women, I just think I don't know if it's just like this, like, for one, it's the busy badge. So like obviously when we're wearing that busy badge, everyone feels like, look at me, I have done this, and this, and this, and this. And I hear it all the time, especially from clients, like referring to like their husbands. They're like, oh my God. And he's like sitting there on his computer or watching TV. And I'm like, I've done this. And I'm like, and he's still sitting there chilling, enjoying his day, probably feeling way better about himself than you do. And you want somebody to pat you on the back because you did 17 things before he got breakfast done. You know what I mean? It's like, but what trophy are we winning? What are we accomplishing? So like just learning how to, like, who are you doing it for? Why are you doing it? Who are you trying to please? Because a lot of times I think we look at other people and we try to like keep up with them, or who are we comparing ourselves to? And it's just,
And I think too, like there's an element, all of this relates to kind of like the numbing out or like the romanticizing, right, of this like illumination of like a journey that we think we should be on. Or like I think I see a lot of times like people that are clearly not aligned with the phase that we're in saying, there'll be consecutive weeks of a lack of progress thereof, and they'll say something along the lines of, oh, but next week is going to be better. That's sexy to say, right? But you referenced here like having a plan. I had a client, I had a one-on-one with her today, because sometimes I'll do one-on-ones just like, you and I are having right now. And she had checked in with me, and it was like a very little subtle add-in to her check-in. And it was, I'm just really struggling knowing that, this next week I'm gonna have to meal prep and it takes me about 3 hours to do. And I don't think that she expected me to get on a phone with her and spend 30 minutes talking about how we are gonna simplify 3 hours of meal prep, because her attitude was very much, I'm just going to get it done. And I said, what in the world is taking you 3 hours to meal prep? We've got a Costco membership. Let's get some pre-cooked proteins. Let's get some rice cups. Let's get some frozen veggies in an air fryer. And before you know it, she left that call with so much confidence. But it's, you've got to explore those kind of like generalized comments or blanket statements of,
That's where people need you. That's where people need me. Like, that's why I need the mindset coach, because you can't even clear up your mind to think past that roadblock. That's all it is a roadblock. You just need someone else to back you up and go, here's how we open that roadblock. And it's like, oh. And then you go and try and you're like, that wasn't that bad. And look at me now. And now I had a successful week. But it's almost, it's when you're in those states of frustration, and it's probably something else that's going on in her life that she is just like focusing on the one thing that you're going to tell her that she's like, I do not want to do that. And this is why, and it's going to suck. And it's going to take so much time. And it's like, no, I'm going to talk you through it. We're going to chunk it back. And that's another thing that my mindset coach used to do, was like, here's the goal. Now let's go back. Like, where do we start to climb that ladder to get to that goal? Cause I would look at a big goal and I'd be like, I'm overwhelmed. I don't even know where to start. And he's like, okay, we're going to go to here, to here, to here. Let's go all the way back to square one. Here's how we're going to start. And then I could see the clear path of like, oh, so if I do this, then I can add that. And this is okay if I then add that to then get to here. And he'd be like, absolutely. But when I get told that happened, it's like, what, how, when, where, you know?
And what you just referenced to was the power, and not even of me, but the power of mentors and coaches. I think you can see back here all these medals. There's like a lot of them. Awesome. And all but one of those was one under the direction of one coach. And I had this coach for 3.5 years. And my check-ins with him, I am a very like, I don't identify with being an anxious person, but I have anxiety at times. And in my check-ins with him, I mean, it was like, I would give him a few questions that I would really need some answers to in order to seek the validation. I'm a words of affirmation girl that I needed. And my check-in responses from him would be 30 seconds. You're doing good. Everything looks good. Cut your food by 15 grams of carbs and 5 grams of fat. Added 60 minutes of cardio. Talk to you later. That was it.
Huh?
And in that one explanation, Jody, that should explain why I got second or third place 12 times before medal number 13. I switched coaches, and in 7 weeks' time, I got that pro card, I got that big trophy, and I got the first place medal that's on that the stand behind me. And the difference was I had coaches that finally broke it down into bite-sized chunks. And what that translates into is having people that believe in you at times more than you believe in yourself. It sounds silly. It sounds like, you know, very like woo woo. But when you have somebody that is able to not just say, hey, Jody, like you're being a little cuckoo, you know, you can do this, girl, go get them, tiger. And instead they're saying, you're not being crazy. You kind of are, but here is exactly how we're going to approach this. Let's dial it back. Let's create an actionable plan, something you can touch, something you can feel. It translates into, oh my gosh, this person has a vested interest in me. They've got stake in this game. And where's my skin in the, you know, where's my stake in the game? Yeah. And now all of a sudden you're believing in yourself.
Yeah. You can see the path and it looks so much clearer, you know?
For sure. For sure. Wow. So, I've loved this conversation. I love everything that we've talked about, and just getting to share your journey and, getting to share just some of your wisdom. I mean, I loved you before this call, but I really love you now. I am too. Do you have any like final tidbits of advice or words of wisdom, maybe for someone that is feeling maybe like they've got something that, you know, they really want to seek after and they're not sure, or maybe they're like kind of sitting on the fence with it and they're wondering, because you talked about being shoved through the door at times, if it's the right move for them?
Yeah, I mean, for one, firm believer in God, and I'm all about prayer. I try my best to like listen, you know, and whatever your higher power is, I just think like a lot of times, like being still and like getting all of the outside noise out, just like checking with yourself, asking yourself those true questions, if this is something that I want. And then, oh man, what was the question? I'm so sorry.
That was a really good answer. I want to piggyback on that too, before I close this out, because I was reading, it was the 101 Essays book. Again, I should just be sponsored by Brianna Weiss at this point. I don't know if you've read any of her stuff.
No, I haven't. I've heard of her, but I haven't read it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Good. So I do want to leave you with one more rec. The Mountain Is You. It's on sale right now for Prime Week, and it's a short read. I have it right here. I'll show you this one. It's a little tiny black book and it's beautiful. Okay. So good. This has changed my life. But she talks about in her journals or writings or whatever, the
Oh, yeah.
questions, like, think about a friend that you were to like ask advice from. And think about, everyone does this. We go to seek advice from someone and we already have something in our head that we want them to say. If you're on the verge or the fence of doing something, think about like going to ask your best friend or your best mentor for advice. And what do you hope that God says back to you? Or like, what do you hope that your mom or your friend or your husband says to you? That's really what your heart wants.
True. You don't even need to ask. You know what you
No,
want, you know?
you do. You do.
Yeah. And then I also am a big believer of getting the conversation going and like talking about it. Because I think that like putting it out into the world like really does get things going. So like whether you're just talking about it with a friend or declaring the thing that you want to do and whatever that is, you may not know you that you're reach this level of success in anything, whether it's fitness, health, wellness, or business. But like just kind of like putting that out there that like I was very specific. I will say, like I have journals back when I was, you know, a teenager into my 20s, writing these things, which are so bizarre. I remember writing that when I first started my first gym business, I was like, I want to be bigger than St. Pete. And I have it and it's written. And I wanted to be accredited, like known that we were voted for something great, not just like by like what I think, right? So like that happened. We grew out of St. Pete. We're in Seminole. That happened. I remember when I wanted to find my husband, I put a list together. I tell my sister to do this, and I'm like, "You still haven't made your list. Make your list." I put a list together.
Oh, my North Star list.
Yes, like
Yes.
my pros and cons
Yes.
and things that I wanted to just like focus on, and like literally, my husband has literally like all of them. But so just like putting those things out there, putting it on paper, so that you, for one, start to like see what you want, because then you're gonna, it's kind of like when you like buy the car and you're like, how is everybody driving my car now? It's like you put that
Yeah.
into your existence and now you see it everywhere. It's like put it down on
Yes.
paper, talk about it with your girlfriend, hire a coach or a mentor or a business person to help you clear out the, you know, the roadblocks and the stained glass. So you can get a clear picture of like how you can even start to get there, you know? But I think you have is like time. So like why not? Like the time is gonna pass you either way, you know. So why
Yeah.
not take, you know, that first step and, you know, do the thing, whether it's like we said,
Yeah.
nutrition under wraps and like feeling better about yourself, whether it's, you know, having that able body that can get you through your day to day because you're feeling like you're just struggling. So like me getting a hold of your health, I think is huge. But yeah, having a clear depiction of their description of like what you want to do with business. Maybe it's building relationships, you know, but you gotta define it. You gotta put it out there. You've gotta like look at it. And then I think it can be done. 'Cause like
Manifestation. That's exactly.
we're no different than anybody else. Like for me to have the life that
Yeah.
I built and loved, we built two houses. I'm living in my literal dream home right now. Like my husband and I, like I remember saying this when I was nannying for a woman who had her own house built, and I would sit in her living room and I'd be like, I'm gonna do this. Like I am going to build a house, a beautiful home that I love and that I want to invite my family over. It's like I talked about that. Like I prayed about it. It's like I have it now, you know? So it's like I
Yeah.
just am a firm, but like I believe. And I think if you could just like stop selling yourself short and stop talking the other way and like talk yourself into the thing that you want to do and be, you know, be your own cheerleader and then go find the help to get you there.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I'm so happy for you too.
Oh,
Like, what an
thank
awesome thing. So yes, I hope that this conversation has given you, our listeners, something to chew on, maybe a little bit of permission to exhale. Whether you're someone who's in a season of grind or where your body's asking for more stillness, I think that we all benefit from having these honest, messy, and sometimes uncomfortable conversations. If you're craving support on your own fitness or health journey, the Empowered Coaching Collective is accepting new coaching clients, whether you're working toward a body that you feel better in, you're navigating burnout, or just trying to reconnect with your routines. You can find coaching info at the link below in the show notes. And if you're ever in the St. Pete area, do yourself a favor and check out We Sweat, WESWET.com, and book a class at Sweat. You can also find Jody on Instagram at Jody Stabile. That's JODISTAVILE. I'll link her below as well. And until next time, listeners, don't forget to be kind to one another and be sure to include yourself in the mix.